Tony be seated. Our man that carries all the hats. He's got broad shoulders to carry. He must have a strong neck. You believe about that, having all them hats on? We certainly appreciate you, Brother Tony. I love to hear him sing, and I was waiting for them to call him up at Songfest to get up there and sing at any moment, and I never saw him get up there, so we'll make sure he gets up there next time. He'll agree with me on that.
Amen.
Amen. Other two or three witnesses, Brother, you're outnumbered, so we're gonna see him up there. I want to speak on a thought this evening, a simple thought. The Lord is on your side. The Lord is on your side. Let's go to the scriptures in Psalms chapter 118 and verse 6. I'm just going to read one scripture right now. It says, "The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me?" Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we love you so much, and we thank you for this opportunity to be here in this place. We ask you, Lord, that you would bless the service tonight, Lord. Lord, that you would let the word be delivered in the manner that you want it to be, the demeanor that you want it, Lord. And Lord, may it be received by faith, Lord. Lord, that each person can leave edified tonight, Lord, and feeling stronger and more confident in who you are and who they are. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
God bless you. You can be seated. You know, the devil, if there's one thing that I can say that I see the devil's really trying so hard to fight, is he wants to take the people's confidence out of their hearts. Because if he can take a person's confidence out in every level of a person's life, that's a great opportunity for him to defeat you. And if it's confidence in marriage, if you take a husband and a wife, if he can get you to lose confidence in one another, you'll constantly be doubting all the time whether something's going on. If he can make you as a son or a daughter in your parent, or a parent in your children, to lose confidence. All of a sudden, whenever you lose that confidence, you don't feel like you can trust them. You don't feel like it's going to happen. And that's what the devil will try to do. With every aspect of a person's life, he will try to take away our confidence. And in the church, the devil will fight the church in the same way. He will try to fight the believer to lose confidence in the Word. To lose confidence in the Spirit. To lose confidence in the pulpit. To lose confidence in their brothers and sisters. The devil will fight. What's he going to do? Try to take away your confidence. Why would Satan do that in a marriage? Why would Satan do that in a family, in a home? Why would Satan do that in a church? Because if he can do that, he can get in the greatest battle that he ever fights. It's in the mind of a person. And he will begin to fight you in your battle. And when you don't have confidence, you will walk in doubt. I love in the scripture where Paul says, "Whatsoever is not eaten in faith is sin." You know what? If you're doing anything in your life, if you're not confident in what you're doing, you're not going to do as well as you can do. It's kind of like my son Elijah, when he first started doing the factory work of ABB, he was putting the wires and whatever he was doing. He said, "I was nervous at first because I wasn't sure. What if I make a mistake? What if I do this? What if this don't work?" But after time, over time, he built confidence. And when he got confidence, those numbers began to rise. What is it? It's because you got confidence in what you're doing. In sales, it's the same way. You take a salesman that doesn't know how to sell. I didn't know how to sell anything. They told me there was a thing called the road to sell. That's worked for years. And I didn't understand that until you probably think, "Well, Brother Daniel, I don't know what that is." Well, there's a road to sell. They've been selling from the foundation of the world since the Garden of Eden. They've been selling. But you know what? You take a salesman that does not have confidence in what he's selling, he can't sell it. He can't be effective on it because he doesn't have confidence in it. And you know what? That's the way it is with believers, brothers and sisters, with the Word. We have to be confident in what we have. If you're confident this thing works, you want to share it with somebody because it works. As I said many times, if they're staining the carpet, you got a machine that can lift that carpet. You say, "Guys, come here. Let me show you something. This thing works." You'll take the stain out and you're excited about it. Why are you excited? It works. Right. And this gospel works. This gospel will do what it's supposed to do. This gospel will do what it says it'll do. And I'm excited about that. Amen. I want us to go through the scripture in Psalms 18. We're going to take a little time. We're going to read some scriptures, okay? Psalms 18, verses 1 through 26. And let's just read this together. "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever. Let Israel now say that his mercy endureth forever. Who needs mercy? Amen. Let the house of Aaron now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let them now that fear the Lord say that his mercy endureth forever. Whenever you're in a trial, his mercy endureth forever. God is on my side. Is he on your side? Amen. Amen. I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? The Lord taketh my part with them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It's better to put trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. And I'm going to put one here. It's better to put trust in the Lord than the hospital. It's better to put trust in the Lord than the government. It's better to put the trust in the Lord than anything. Because the Lord's mercy endures forever. Amen. It don't matter what your trial is. It's better to put your trust in the Lord more than your finances. That's right, because that can go away. But his mercy endures forever. Amen. All nations compassed about me about, but in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. Let's read that together. All nations compassed about, cast me about, but in the name of the Lord will I destroy them. I'm going to destroy my enemy. It's a promise in his word where it doesn't matter how I feel about it. What does his word say? He says, I've got enemies all compassed about me. They're all around me. These enemies want to crush me. But I'm going to destroy my enemy. Amen. They compass me about, yea, they compass me about, but in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. They compass me about like bees. They are quenched as the fire of thorns. For in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. I mean, he's got some enemies you need destroyed. Amen. Thou hast thrust sore at me that I might fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and song, and is become my salvation. The voice of rejoicing and salvation in the tabernacles of righteous, the right hand of the Lord doth valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. Does that come to mind about something in the right hand, brothers and sisters?
Amen.
What was in his right hand? Seven stars.
Right.
John Fell was a dead man. What did he touch him with? The right hand. And whenever that means when we got that same anointing, that same word, what are we going to do? We're going to defeat our enemies valiantly. Amen. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. This trial is not going to kill me. The trial that I'm in is not going to kill me. And I'm going to get through this, and then I'm going to tell about the wonders of his works and what God did. The Lord hath chastened me sore, but he hath not given me over unto death. How many of you had to do whipping and he got to where it got pretty sore, but he didn't kill you?
Right.
Amen. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go into them and I will praise the Lord. I'm going to praise the Lord. So what's one of the steps to get the victory? Praise the Lord. That's right, even when you don't feel like it. When you enter the praises into the kingdom and the doors, praise the Lord. Because there is victory when you praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. That's Paul, whenever he was in prison. What did he do? He praised the Lord. No matter what we're going through, praise the Lord. Even when you don't feel like it, praise the Lord. Brother Tony talked to me the day, I got the stomach bug. I can't a lot of people got it, I guess got. His brother, I'm sure, praying for, and he texted to me the next morning. Brother Daniel, how you feeling? I said, his mercy has been renewed, brother. I praise the Lord. Even in a stomach bug, you praise the Lord.
Amen.
This gate of the Lord into which the righteous shall enter, I will praise thee. For thou hast heard me and art become my salvation. Catch this. I am confident that he has heard me. There is such a victory in that. When you have confidence that God is hearing my praise, God is seeing my praise, I'm going to worship him. Just like the little girl that was praising. Remember, the king was by and she was crying because she said, well, I'm so little the king didn't see me. But God sees you wave your flag.
Amen.
Amen. I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me and art become my salvation. The stone which the builders refused has become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it.
Amen.
Say now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. How many can use a little bit of prosperity? Absolutely. So you didn't raise your hand up. Let me raise my hand up for you. I'll say, you know, I like prosperity from the Lord. Amen. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. There is confidence. Whenever there's confidence, whenever you come into the house of the Lord and you worship the Lord and you praise the Lord, because what? When you're praising the Lord, you are not looking at your valley. You're not looking at your battle. You're not looking at the things all around you. You got to put your head back up and say, I'm going to praise the Lord. No matter what it is, I'm going to praise the Lord. If you're the doctor can only look at a report, and according to the report, he has to tell you it. A preacher has to look at a report also. And I have to tell you what I said. I'm sorry. I'm looking and I see nothing. It's white. It's pure. You're clean. Because that's all they can do, brother and sister, according to your bank account. It may look like I'm in trouble. But according to the report that I have here, I'm telling you, he's met your need already.
Amen.
He's already provided for you. But Brother Daniel, I don't have enough money in my bank account to pay the bills next week. Yes, you do.
Amen.
The word says you do. Amen. So that means all you got to do is keep walking by faith. Amen. That's what it is to be a Christian. You walk by faith. Because you know what? If you've got $10,000 in the bank account, you got enough money to pay your bills, that don't take much faith. But when you ain't got the money in the bank account, and you got bills to pay, and you got to take one step at a time, brother and sister, that's walking by faith. God has given us a word. God has given us a promise. And all we got to do is take that promise. Because you know what? We talk about them all the time. God meets our needs. God meets these needs. God meets these needs. Let me tell you something. When you're in the midst of a fire, you're in the midst of the battle, and you need God to come on the scene, you need this Bible to come alive.
Amen.
You need the God of this Bible to come alive, because just talk ain't going to do no good. And there's a saying too. We handle the good times really good. Let's see how we handle the bad ones.
Amen.
Amen. When you're going through the trial.
Amen.
Those are just prayer requests, so. You see how much I pray for you? We'll get it in a minute. There was a woman by the name of Hannah who was under great distress. And she wanted a baby so bad, she was vexed by the devil repeatedly, over and over and over and over, and beat this woman that she felt like she couldn't get beat down anymore. And so she would see everybody else with the blessings on their life. You ever been there? Where you feel like I'm going through the same patterns, and you may even be doing more sacrifices than everybody else, but they get all the blessings. And it feels like you can't get a blessing. I never ask who all wants prosperity. There are a few of you, raise your hands. There's a few of them that need to repent. I'm just teasing. You know, we all need the blessings of the Lord. You know, Brother Graham talks one time, and he said, after a service, he said, someone said they enjoyed the service, and a preacher said, well, I don't like it. Someone tells me that. And he said, well, there's only one difference between me and you, brother. I'm being honest, and you're not. Yeah. We all like blessings.
Amen.
You know, that's the absolute fact. Whenever this woman was going through all the sacrifice, she was going through all the most, she was doing all these things, and she couldn't get a blessing until she got desperate. And then when she got desperate to the point, she said, God, I got to have it. Let me tell you something. The first day, she might have got desperate. She thought she was. The second day, she thought she'd get desperate. Let me show you something. A lot of times, people can think it would be impossible for them to raise up $20,000 or $30,000. They say, it'd be impossible to do that. But you let a death or something, or serious sickness come in the family, they will come up with $20,000 or $30,000 if they've got to. They'll sell what they got to do. They've got to do this, what they got to do. They've got to do with this. They will come up with that. If you were to ask them before that, can you come up with
$20,000 or $30,000? Absolutely not. Impossible. No way. The doctor says, you got to have this or your son's going to die. All of a sudden, it becomes possible. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, you're able to let go of some stuff. All of a sudden, you're able to say, you know what? This stuff doesn't even matter anymore to me. This motorcycle doesn't matter to me anymore. This doesn't matter to me anymore. This doesn't matter to me. You're willing to give up whatever you've got to because you've got to have help. And brother and sister, that's called desperation. Mm-hmm. And this woman, Hannah, come to a desperation. Mm-hmm. And she got the victory. Mm-hmm. And I want you to listen to her testimony when she got the victory. Samuel chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. And Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoiceth in the Lord. Mine horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies because I rejoice in thy salvation. Whose salvation? God's salvation.
Amen.
It wasn't her that did it. It was God that did it. Amen. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee. Neither is there any rock like our God. Talk no more exceedingly proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty men are broken, and they that stumble are girded with strength. How many members, one last time I spoke to you, we brought out a scripture out of Psalms. It talked about whenever you stand for righteousness' sakes, the enemy will rise up with you with bows, ready to destroy you. And it says, and the Lord will destroy their bows. Who is it that will fight your battles? God.
Amen.
I like that. We're talking about there is somebody here in our midst that can meet our needs. There is someone in our midst that will fight our enemies. The bows of the mighty men, not just bows, we're talking about mighty men that are able to kill. So the bows of mighty men are broken, that stumble are girded with strength. They that were full have hired out themselves for bread. They that were hungry ceased, so that the barren hath not borne seven, and she hath many children, is wax feeble. The Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and he bringeth up. The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up. He rises up the poor out of the dust and lifteth the beggar from the dunghill to set them among princes, to make them inherit the throne of glory, for pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he hath set the world upon them. He will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness, for by strength shall no man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall he thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, and he shall give strength unto his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. How many anointed we got here tonight? Whenever we will humble ourselves before the Lord, he will reign upon your enemy.
Right.
You know, a lot of times people have a tendency to look at how strong this devil is, how strong this trial is. I've got this going on. I've got this going on. And it can be overwhelming. But we have to remember, don't look at that. Look at the great conqueror that's among us. The one that slew the giants is with us. The one that parted the waters is with us. The one that called Peter to walk on water is with us. He's here. He's among us. He hasn't left you. He's here.
Amen.
That's right. He is here. Brother Daniel, but I don't feel him. I didn't ask you if you felt him. I said he's here. Brother Grimm said this. He said, you can't reason a promise out of God. You must believe him for it.
Amen.
You believe it by faith. Is that right, Brother Tony? You take it by word.
That's
not something, well, I just hope you'll do it, though. God, a reason. Don't do that. Take it by faith. Take this word that we've said, whatever giant you have, and say, Lord, you said you will slay my enemies. What enemy do you have? Hold that before the Lord and say, Lord, I'm taking you at your word. Fight my enemy. Now, you've got to do something. You can't sit there with your feet propped up. Okay, I told the Lord. No, you've got to walk by faith.
Amen.
Amen. I'm not telling you something. I'm not, trust me, I'm riding the trials with you, brother and sister. But I'm telling you, it works. I've seen my God in battle. I've seen him bring trials come across, mountains come up, and I've seen one by one, we'll overcome one devil at a time. One at a time. One at a time. This bride's not defeated. This word is not defeated. We have the authority that when these trials come, we take this word and we take the promise of the Lord and we put it in action. Amen. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. I want to read something to you. Because of time, I'll try to cut some of it out, but I don't want to cut out too much. Brother Brim says this. He says, "Then there was Gilgal, another great spiritual place of worship. Why wouldn't God let him be born in Gilgal? And there was another one, Zion. Zion was on the mountaintop. And we wonder why that Jesus was not be born then in Zion. Because it's a great historical mark of where the Lord has blessed his people in the ages. And it looks like that maybe he would have chosen Zion or Gilgal or Shiloh or one of the other great places where he had been great blessings and great teachings. And there was other great cities such as Hebron. That was the place for a man who was wanting a city of refuge, a place of safety. There was Ramoth-Gilead, also another place of refuge where the people could come, which would have been very appropriate for him to be born. And maybe if he would have been thinking it, I would have brought him over to Kadesh Barnea, for there was judgment seat and a place of refuge. Perhaps I would have brought him over to the country for his birthplace. Or maybe we would have chosen some of the other cities. But you know, I'm so glad that even just little insignificant things in the Bible mean so much. I believe that it was Jesus that said that you pass over, do the weightier matters of the law rather, but pass over the little things. And sometimes it's the little things that holds the big things together. But all in all, the great cogs is turning just exactly the way God ordained them to turn. There'll never be one miss its place. God foreordained all things, and it must get just exactly to that place. And when we get faith like that and begin to think of who is behind all this, what is the mainspring that's turning the great economy of God's? We find it's the Holy Spirit. Not left in the hands of men to do things, but in the hands of the Holy Spirit. And he is the mainspring. And if he can get the rest of the instruments, it'll work just perfectly and keep exactly God's time. He's the major spring. Jesus Christ is the major spring. And brother and sister, listen, things can get so crazy in battle that you're looking at all this stuff. Slow down and look and say, you what? What is the major spring of this? It is Jesus Christ. And is he with you? Jesus Christ is with me. Can you say that with confidence? Jesus Christ is with me. And you have a part in this. And he says, whenever you will, I'm gonna read exactly what he said. I don't want to say it wrong. And he is the main spring that if he can get the rest of their instruments, it'll work just perfectly. And keep God's time. All you got to do, brothers, in the midst of battle, you focus, but slow down and say, you know what? My main spring is Jesus Christ. And all I've got to do is keep my heart in tune with him. Keep my heart in tune with the Spirit of God. And God's provided a way. God gives a provided way of a fivefold ministry. And he'll give that word to you, brother and sister. And going God's provided way, when the word is being delivered to you, you take that word and you apply it to your life and you fight those battles, you will be on time because you're coming God's provided way. Mm-hmm. And the reason I say that, brother and sister, the devil will try so hard in the midst of trial, of a long trial, he will do his best to pull you out of church. He'll pull you away from brothers and sisters, pull you away from fellowship, pull you away from everything. And with best intentions and the whole time, the devil will do that because what he's trying to do is trying to separate you. But we got to keep ourselves tied to the main spring. And I'm not the main spring. Brother Tony's not the main spring. Brother Brennan's not the main spring. Jesus Christ is the main spring. That's right. Because a lot of people have a personal relationship with Brother Brennan, but they don't have that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And there is a big difference.
Because Jesus Christ is the one that gave you the birth.
Amen.
Brother Branham can't.
Right.
Brother Branham was a man. Whenever he was anointed of God, there was time when he was absolutely anointed of God, and it was thus saith the Lord. And during those moments, brother and sister, but this right here is our absolute, the Bible. Is that true? Amen.
Right.
You hear, Brother Tony? That's your pastor.
Amen.
Amen. The Bible is our absolute.
Amen.
Because if you take the message first and then go to the Bible, you're going to get your math wrong. But if you take the Bible first and then use the message, you'll find out it lines up just perfectly. You know what I'm talking about? In math, you can do math. You do equation, it looks right, but you do it backward, you find out, wait a minute, it's wrong.
That's right.
Even though it looks right. And that's why it's so important that this right here is first at number one.
Amen.
Because then it will always tie back to the Word.
Amen.
Every time. Amen?
That's
right. Prior to this quote, I'm fixing to read, Brother Branham spoke of how every seed was perfect. He said that every seed has a power to transform within itself. And this is me, okay? No amount of water put on a seed will change what kind of seed that is.
That's right.
You can pour it all you want to. You can dance in the spirit ground. You can do whatever you want to. It's still the same seed it was. And Brother Brown talked about the Lamb's Book of Life. It was put there before the foundation of the world. And the Lamb is interceding for every name, and he's waiting for that last name become manifest. And when that last name comes manifest, we're going in rapture. That body, that's what we are waiting for right now. We're waiting for that last name to come manifest.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And you think that seed ain't under trial, you're kidding yourself. It's under trial.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. My brother says this. Now, he has the power to do that. God then said, well, if it's all so good, and it can't be anything else because it's my own desire, it's the way I want it, and I have spoken it that way, and my words has brought it just exactly the way I wanted it. And there it is. It's all good. So the Bible said that God rested the seventh day from all his works. And everything under control to bring forth of its kind. Now remember to bring. When he put the seed in the earth, the seed can only come forth with the power of life within it to transform it from a seed to a plant. Or whatever it is. His transforming power. Now, God put the seed in there with potentials that it would be what he said it would be. And as long as it stayed in its right category, it would be just exactly what God said it would be. It had to be that way because he had made it that way and made a channel. And anything that stays in his channel, in his line of word, it will have to bring forth exactly like his word said it would do. It cannot move from there. It's channeled just exactly right. So with everything and the trust in his own son that it would be that way, then God said, it's all good, so I'll just rest. And each one of those seeds has power in itself to transform itself into the species that I desire it to be. That's what it must be, because I have given every seed transforming power to make out of itself, in its potentials now, to make out of itself exactly what I want it to be. God has never changed, just the same today as he was then. God is determined to do something. He'll do it. Nothing is going to stop him. He'll do it. Now, after it's all so well and set in order, God felt sure now that this would be all right. And then when he did, then came in the enemy. God gave power to transform, and I'm going to call this fellow with power not to create again, but he had power to deform. Not transform, but deform. And anything that is taken from its original state, there's something that's gone wrong with it. Some years ago, on patrol, going through the cornfields, I would think of, there was a limb had blown off of a tree and had fell over on a stalk of corn. And the stalk was trying its best to get up straight like it was supposed to be, but it was deformed because something had happened and the stick was laying over. Now, catch me saying, this stalk of corn, it's a seed. Now, what is it that makes the corn? It's the seed has a transforming power to make that seed a stalk of corn.
Just as sure as we have a seed inside of us that has the power to transform us into a son or daughter of God, the bride of Jesus Christ, right? He's talking about, I've seen this stalk of corn. He said, and it was a good corn. And he said, but there was a stick that was laying on top of this corn and it was deformed. It was a good seed all the time, but something had happened to it. It had become deformed. And I want to finish reading this quote because I think it's so good. If you just catch, I hope you get excited about it as I did. Then we find a wild creeper in the field, which many of you men here, maybe some of you women, if you're from Kentucky, the women use this hoe there just the same as a man. They get out in the field with a hoe. We call the old gooseneck hoe and chop the creepers out. But if you didn't get those creepers out where the corn was in a row like this, then the creeper would reach over and grab a hold of that corn and wrap itself around gradually. So easy, so slyly, that you wouldn't hardly tell it was wrapping. And finally it gets stronger and stronger and it pulls the corn till it's deformed. Pulls it against itself. Wraps it around its own vine, deforming it from what it was to something else. Yet it's corn, but it's deformed corn. And we are all still in the image of God. But some are so deformed as sons of God that walk contrary to the word, to the way that he had us. And provided for us to walk, setting something. The world twists us around, twists us out of the way, pull us close to it and away from the straight, narrow strip that he planted us in to be sons and daughters of God. Sin has done this evil thing to sons and daughters of God, the deformer. I know this seems to be rather strange to speak of it this way, to deform, but that's what he was. He deformed or perverted, which means he changed over, made something different. And deformed is the same thing. And it's brought over and deformed and made it in another way, yet it's still the same seed. It's just become deformed. This word and this message, I'll say, it's right. It's the first revelation to me that this word is right. And it will produce a crop. A seed produces a crop. Is that right? And it will produce the right thing. But if you look across the message, it's deformed. It's because a lot of things have happened that will lay on top of whatever it may cause. And though they're seed all the time, it's deformed. It's a deformed life. Because their life is not looking like the gospel. You look, if I had a perfect image of a corn, and I told you, this is a perfect stalk of corn, and I wish we had a smaller one, those I carried around, won't you? I don't want to walk around with that thing. But if I had something that looked like corn, and I said, this is real corn. This is corn, okay? And then this is what we're saying is corn. This ought to look like that. Because if it don't, something's wrong. It don't take rocket science to know that. If it doesn't look like the original, something is wrong. Now, Brother Brenham talked about how there can be corn. It's the original corn. It's the original seed. But something has happened. It's deformed. Things have gotten in the way. And it talks about how the creeper will come through and he'll slowly, so slyly get a hold of that corn. And though that corn is praising God, when it comes to the house of God, it's praising the Lord. It's worshiping the Lord as we do. Praise the Lord. That creeper will come through there and so slyly take your arms and pull your arms down. He'll slowly pull you down into your seat. In service after service, he'll slowly hold you so tight. You don't have to get all emotional like that. You don't have to dance. You don't have to sing. You don't have to do that because it's all by. We're in a message now. And he can bring it to such a point, he lulls you to where you literally just fall asleep. Listen to me, that devil is after one thing. Catch these words. The devil is after one thing. He will try so hard to make us lukewarm, formal, and powerless.
That's right.
He don't care if you go to church. He don't care if you grow your hair long. He don't care if men wear pants or however you do that. He don't care about that. But he does care. He does not want you to live a powerful life. And I'm telling you what, God hates a powerless church. And we are the church, brothers and sisters. And we have the authority to overcome sin. We have the authority to overcome unbelief. And that's what the word's been given to us for. Whenever these battles are coming towards, brother, sister, God has got inside of you and I the power of transforming life. There's a quote I've got. Brother Brennan talked about that. He's talking about the outer courts, the inner courts, and behind the holies of holies. Brother Brennan talked about how when you get behind the holies of holies, how that everything's quiet behind there because you're just in that Shekinah glory of God. It's just the presence of the Lord that comes down. And Brother Brennan talked about, he said, there's some people that have gotten to a point, all they have is a memory of a God of power. All they have is a memory of God that did miracles. All they have is a memory of victories that God did. You know what Brother Grimm said? He said, all you got to do is get yourself shut back in that presence of God. He said, and those things will start coming right back out again.
Amen.
And brother and sister, that's what it is, the devil. That's how the devil will rob you of your confidence in the Lord. It's because he'll try to tell you, there's no need in you praying. Because remember, you prayed and he didn't answer that prayer. He didn't meet that need. Remember, he did that. What's the devil doing that? He tried to make you lose confidence in prayer.
Mm-hmm.
But he tries to make you lose confidence in who you are. Let me tell you something. You didn't put the seed inside your heart. You didn't call yourself to the word. And you can't quit. Because if you do, the Lord's going to get you anyway. He's going to keep pulling. As the brother told me, sung the perfect song, I feel the pull. Who is it that makes you feel that pull? Is it you? Is it your intellect? I got to think about God. No. What is it? It's a seed inside you. You've got the seed inside you, but you've got to shut yourself back in the presence of God.
Amen.
And you'll see those almonds budding again.
Amen.
You say amen?
Amen.
I want the budding.
Amen.
I want that life coming out.
Amen.
And it's something that you can't do. Brother Tony's been preaching this, I'm telling you. I'm not telling you anything new. God's the one that gives life.
Amen.
He's the one that gives it to you. No, we can come up to the altar and you can pray. And you can have it. You can have Brother Brennan himself here. It would do no good unless God come on the scene. Because he's the one that comes down and he's the one that gives you the life.
Amen.
He's the one that gives it to me, brother, sister. But a lot of times, when God gives us the unction, God given us the pull to shut in with him and pray with him. Lord, give me a when's the last time you shut yourself? Be honest with this. Don't raise your hand. Just be honest with yourself. When's the last time you just sat down or knelt down in all seriousness and said, Lord, I need a refilling of your Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
I need just a fresh cleansing, God.
Mm-hmm.
I need a revival
mm-hmm.
in my heart. When's the last time? Brother and sister, it should be continual. It should be a perpetual thing. Because if you're not listening, that creeper will hold you back. There's a creeper. And he will try so hard to take those things away. And that's why we have got to allow the preacher to take that hoe and start cutting those creepers out of your life.
Mm-hmm.
But whenever he starts getting in your tater patch, hitting the hoe, you can't pull away from the preacher.
Because
mm-hmm. you know what? Who knows? You can hide a devil. You can. You can have something inside you, and the word is trying, the preacher is trying his best to try to get you free. Why is a preacher preaching on certain things about your life? It's because he wants you to be free.
Mm-hmm.
If you see a stalk of corn, and you see things are pulling that corn and causing that corn to present a deformed life, the man that is over that cornfield is going to go out there, and he's going to keep hitting that creeper. Why does he keep doing that? He's just trying to be a bully. He's trying to do this. No, he's trying to be your brother. He's trying to get that creeper out of your life. Because, listen, the longer you allow that creeper to stay in your life, it will flow into other areas of your life.
That's right.
Brother Branham talked about how women wearing ungodly clothes and doing the certain things. Brother Branham said, and I'm going to say the best I can. He said, you know, a lot of people say, you can't judge her. He says, you're right, I can't. But this is what he said. This is the word I want you to see. He said, there's a spirit on that person that's leading them into a dirty life.
Mm-hmm.
There is a spirit. Whenever there's certain things in your life and the Lord's trying to do it and you allow that spirit, that creeper, will take you into other areas of your life. He will not stop in one room.
Mm-hmm.
If I could, as crazy as it is, if someone breaks into your house and says, all right, burglar, you can come, but you just stay in that closet over there. Don't you go in other areas of the house. You stay over there, we'll be fine. If you think he's going to do that, you're insane. That's the same way it is whenever we allow the devil to have any part of our life. If the word is presented, and if it tries to correct you, and you say, I'm not dealing with that. I'm not, this is mine. You allow that, that will move into other areas of your life. Mm-hmm. You're catching what I'm saying tonight.
Amen. That's right.
The devil will not stop at one little spot. That creeper, those vines will keep, one of the worst vines in a garden, in my opinion, is cucumbers. You can have squash plants that are looking so beautiful, and those cucumbers have got their whole row on that, in that garden patch. And you have squash way on the other end of the garden, and them greedy little cucumbers will wiggle them little vines all the way over there and choke out your squash. How many knows what I'm talking about? That they will do that. And if you don't tend to that garden, if you deal with it on a daily basis and you work in the garden and you work in the garden, you can maintain it. But you go on vacation for 2 weeks and you come back and you look at the mess you've got in your garden. Brother and sister, that's just like our life. You've got to maintain it on a daily basis. Lord, help me. Lord, help me to walk in your spirit, God. Help me to be sensitive to your spirit, God. Help me to do this. And searching your life on a daily cleansing, daily focusing, listening to the tapes, listening to the message, reading your Bible, praying on a daily basis, fellowshipping with God. When you're doing these things, brother, sister, it makes it so much easier than waiting for the next evangelist to come through to finally bring my revival that I can have. Mm-hmm. We have, you know, the little cop. I said the little cop. Look on, just a cop. At the Azusa Street revival. Come up to him and says, I'm looking for the Jubilee, the revival. I said, you're looking at it. It's right here. I am the revival. Brother and sister, you are to be the revival. Don't be looking at him somewhere. Be the revival.
Amen.
You know, don't look for someone to bring a move of fire in the church. You be the fire in the church.
Amen.
Don't let for somebody else to bring the Spirit of God. You walk in the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Even in the midst of trial, because how can we? I've read you the scriptures. This is not, he will fight your battles. Is he worthy of our praise?
Amen.
Amen. He is. I'm gonna pick these up, they're driving me crazy. He will fight our battles.
Amen.
Don't ever feel like you have to settle with him. And please catch, I know I felt this in my heart so strong to point this thing out. I just want to say it one more time. That creeper will try to cause you to present a deformed life.
Mm-hmm.
He will cause you to lose, he'll try his best to make you lose confidence in the word, confidence in prayer. He'll make you lose confidence in your pastor. He'll make you lose confidence in your wife. He'll make you lose confidence in your husband. He'll make you lose confidence in your finances. He'll make you lose confidence in all these things. Why would the devil do that? Because when you ain't got confidence in anything, you ain't going to stand for anything.
Mm-hmm.
And brother and sister, you got to stand for something or you will fall for anything.
Amen.
You got to stand for something. And you got to dig within yourself and say, what is it I stand for? Our house stands for something.
Amen.
What's your house stand for?
Right.
Amen.
Amen. Let's all stand. I know this, you know, the fiery service that you would like to have, but that's all I got. I want to see our people walk in confidence.
Yeah.
Amen. That's all this power is. Ask Brother Tony to come forth, if you don't mind, brother. Heavenly Father, I come to you this evening, Lord, and I just want to thank you for this opportunity and this privilege to speak to your people, Lord. I'm sorry I kept them long, Lord. Lord, I'm sorry I chopped it up, Lord, as I did, Lord. I just try to present it the best I know how, Lord. Because, Lord, I know what I see, Lord, and I feel, Lord. And, Lord, I have such a burden, Lord, to see the people see that they acknowledge the devil is trying to rob us of our confidence. He's trying to so hard. And Lord, the prophet even talked about how the man would
all he'd have is a memory of the miracles. He'd have a memory of how God would do great things, a memory of how God would work in their life. And his marriages would have the same way. Marriages would have just a memory of whenever they were passionate with one another. Marriages would have a memory of how they were happy with one another. But Lord, we can have that again. Marriages can have it again. Relationships can have it again. All they got to do is shut out the things that were killing it, the influence of it, Lord, and just get back in your presence. Oh God, I'm asking you that you would walk the aisle. Lord, would you knock on hearts tonight, Lord? Would you go into living rooms tonight, Lord? Lord, would you go into bedrooms or cars or wherever they are that may be listening? And Lord, let not these words fall on the ground, Lord. Lord, don't let them come back void, Lord, but may these words that are preached from this pulpit, Lord, accomplish what you have sent them to accomplish. Because, Lord, preachers can try to with best intentions of all they want. But, Lord, it's your word. And as our pastor has labored trying to preach in and out because of his burden of what he sees and what his desire is, Lord, of what you put in his heart, Lord. Lord, I see the devil trying so hard to try to steal the confidence away. Lord, I ask you this night, Lord, that each person would look within themselves and say, is God with her? Is he not? Is the Bible true? Is it not? And Lord, we know that it's true, Lord. We ask you, Lord, that you would meet needs among us tonight, Lord. God, I ask you, walk the aisle. Lord, would you knock on hearts tonight, Lord? Would you minister to them, Lord, that they can acknowledge, Lord, that you are here. Lord, not because we feel you, not just because of those things, Lord, but you're here because your word says you're here. And Lord, your word will prosper. Your word will do what it said it will do. We love you. In Jesus' name.
About the scarecrow. You know, crow's flying over, he looks down and he sees a scarecrow. If he would think, he'd say, you know what, there's something down there that farmer don't want me to get to, or he wouldn't spend the time to put a scarecrow out there.
That's right.
Yeah. When Satan comes to you and he opens his mouth to you, he wouldn't be putting forth the effort unless there was something he was trying to keep away from you.
Amen.
Right? And so that's what he does. Amen. We're so glad for the message. It's this Bible in modern form. That's what it is. It's not a different message. It's the Bible. But we're thankful for it. It's a good analogy Brother Daniel gave there a while ago about check your math. Right?
Mm-hmm.
People say, well, you follow a man. I follow this Bible. And there's a vindicated ministry in our day that this Bible said would come.
Yeah.
And when I look at that and I come back and I check it with this, and it agrees.
Right.
Amen.
So you check your math. Check your message. Brother Branham has told us, you know, don't believe him if he tells you something contrary to the word, right? He even said if an angel, and Paul said this, and Brother Branham said it, if that angel told me something contrary to the word, it wouldn't be the angel of the Lord,
right?
So we know that. And so we're so thankful. And I believe God wants us to be students, disciples of the message. Because I believe God wants us to know what we're doing. You know, the scripture said Jesus, he spoke with authority, not like the Pharisees. Now think about that. There was something about, he knew what he was talking about. It wasn't just the fact that he got things done, miracles or whatever, but he knew what he was talking about. And people could tell that. And so I think the Lord wants us to be the same way. There's nothing like a person that knows what they're talking about.
Right.
And so the scriptures tell us that we, like the disciples said, we do speak that which we know.
Right.
And God wants you to know him and the power of his resurrection so you can go out and be faithful witnesses. You can't be witnesses just because you joined a church.
Right.
Can't be witnesses just because you shook the preacher's hand.
No.
You'll be witnesses when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. It makes a witness out of you. And so, you know, the scripture says we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. God wants us to be out there speaking, and but know what it is we're talking about. So whatever's going on, Brother Daniel talked about so many different things, but whatever's going on in your life, whatever it is that you see that looks impossible, God can reverse that. Absolutely. I think about the Wheeler family, thinking, well, a lifelong decision here, but God can reverse that. You can say, well, how can I don't know how, but God can reverse everything. No matter what it is that you're going through, and you might look and say, I'm looking at a Goliath. And when you're looking at a Goliath, I mean, he's giant. Mm-hmm. But I don't care what it is. God can change those things. Mm-hmm. Years ago, I had a bad supervisor. And, you know, wasn't arrogant. I didn't do anything. I just kept being what I am. But he was bad. And we see my wife shaking her head, yes. You know, it wasn't up to me to do something about it. But the Lord did. And before it was over with, he was moved out of that position and I was put in it. And I didn't do it. And he still worked there, and he had to see that. He had to see that I was in that position. I didn't do that. God did it.
Yeah.
Right? And so God, but during the time, I mean, I even went looking for another job. Right? Because it looked like, how can I deal with this? But God can change anything. You say, well, you know, I've got this medical condition. My parents had it, so now I've got it. Where do you read that in the Bible?
Right.
Where are you reading the Bible that you have to have a medical condition that your parents had? Because I hear a message saying that the blood of Jesus Christ will take those things from you.
Yeah.
And you may say, well, I have this condition because I'm getting older, and older people have it. Where do you find that in the Bible? And I'm speaking to myself, right? See, the devil wants to draw a line and say, this is as far as God can go.
Right.
And that's a lie.
Amen.
That's an absolute lie. He lies. If he opens his mouth, he's lying. And so, get back into the presence of the Lord. I mentioned the other day, you know, being full of the Holy Ghost. We know Brother Rem gave the example of a cup out in the pen, and you clean it up and it's sanctified and so forth. And then, you know, when the master puts liquid in it, you know, then it's in service. And so we're like a cup for the master's hand. But, you know, when you fill that cup with milk, if someone drinks out of that cup, the only thing they can get is milk, because that's what it's full of. And so we rise up every day to pray and ask God, God, fill me with your spirit so that when I respond, what people get is you, mm-hmm. not me. Mm-hmm. And you don't just automatically get up and you're not just automatically full of the Holy Ghost all the time, right? The scripture's talking about, yeah, they were filled with the Holy Ghost and then refilled, and there's many refills, right? That's our battle every day, is to fight and fight the enemy and believe the word and be in fellowship with God so that that nature, that divine nature, is present in us as much as possible.
Amen.
And when that's like that, when you're full of the presence of God, then you're full of the Holy Ghost, and then you can't do nothing else but what the Holy Ghost is. Amen. At that time. And so, you know, so we want to get back into the presence of God. When Brother Ram tells the story about, he preaches spiritual amnesia. Mm-hmm. And he talks about, you know, a lot of things that cause amnesia. Battles and being in war and different things and being in between decisions and so forth. And he tells about the soldiers that they were, you know, they had amnesia. They didn't know who they were, didn't know where they go. And they were going to take them and put them in some institution on a train. And they stopped, and this one man, soldier that had amnesia, began to walk around, began to look around, and he started walking off down a pathway, and so the guy that was in charge of him followed him. Mm-hmm. Then he goes and he walks through the woods, through a pathway, and comes to a house, and there's an old man sitting on the front porch, and when he walks into the clearing, the old man jumps up and runs after and says, my son, I knew you'd come back. Mm-hmm. And what Brother Ram's trying to show us in that story was that soldier got around familiar surroundings.
Yes.
But brother, sister, what did we see before the foundation of the world?
Amen.
when all the sons of God shouted for joy, what did we see then that we come here to this earth and we forgot about? But get in the presence of God. Get in the place where these things are going on and we'll start remembering who we are.
Amen.
Right? That's what that's all about. So that should be it. Our number one thing is to be in the presence of God as much as possible. Amen. And I will tell you this, God does not miss anything. You can't wave your little flag and he'll miss it. He sees it. Mm-hmm. And once you meet the criteria that he has given and said, you come on this basis, Brother Bam said he has to meet the same need with you as he did with somebody else if you come on the same condition. Once you meet that condition of faith in the Word of God, it will give you that Holy Ghost. You will have that fellowship because God don't make a mistake. And he doesn't miss anything. Amen. Amen. And so, how many enjoyed that tonight?
Amen.
It was good. Amen. I mean, it's glad for the message. Oh, can't you see why I'm so happy? I've accepted the word of the Lord. Oh,